Was Mr. Rochester really handsome? What is really beautiful or really ugly? It is one of the most difficult questions to answer, and the answer is different for each of us. We propose a text to read in class which, starting from literary examples, helps to reflect on the concept of beauty and ugliness and on how their meaning can be overturned depending on the point of view. Beauty. What a difficult word. "You examine me, Miss Eyre," said he, Mr. Rochester. "Do you think me handsome?" I should, if I had deliberated, have replied to this question by something conventionally vague and polite. But the answer somehow slipped from my tongue before I was aware. "No, sir." From Charlotte Bronte, Jane Eyre. It does not seem a good start for a couple who will end up getting married, albeit after many hardships. Moreover, the question in the quote in novels and films, and elsewhere, is most often asked by a female character. In the case of Mr. Rochester, Miss Jane Eyre's answer is rather firm and undiplomatic. "No, sir." In these two very short words, there is a reversal of male and female roles in relation to beauty, which could not be more stark. Yet Charlotte Bronte, the author of the novel Jane Eyre, from which the quote is taken, gives the reader in just a few lines such sincerity in the brief dialogue between the characters that she makes us face the question, what does it really mean to be beautiful or handsome? We can safely say that almost everyone has asked themselves this question at least once in their lives. So it is universal, as is beauty after all, and concerns the most intimate and hidden aspect of each of us. The representation of beauty has had various pictorial and architectural canons that have changed and evolved over time. It is precisely in their evolution that it has become clear how in the soul of the observer the idea of what is beautiful and what is not is so personal, and there is certainly no single rule. The Greeks, for example, left examples of extraordinary sculptures showing balance, perfection of bodies and their movement, so their representation of beauty is unequivocal. Greek statues are still admired today for their grace and, yes, their perfection, but that was only the beginning. Activity. On your way home from school or out with your friends, take a picture with your mobile phone showing what beauty means to you. Give it a title and bring it to class. Discuss the reasons for your choice in groups or in pairs. Dragons, monsters, and beauty in art. In the Middle Ages, communities were building a new world on the ruins of the old one. Everything was changing. Mentality, society, religion, with the complicated and turbulent transition from paganism to the spread of Christianity. All these changes came together in artistic representation, and artists' perceptions of the beautiful and the ugly were combined with fears of the unknown, of death, of a world that seemed incomprehensible, just as pagan religious beliefs, with their complex mythical content, fed a rich and fantastic imagination. Medieval bestiary tables have come down to us, works of art, often of pagan derivation, which show figures that do not exist in reality, made of human parts, animals, dragons, birds, fish, also very often not belonging to the reality of the animal and marine world. Their purpose is to show disquiet and instill fear or get rid of it. But if you look at them carefully, their ugliness is transformed into a fascinating representation of a parallel world, the realm of such fantasy that even the monsters are beautiful. Over the centuries, the artistic and literary debate on the representation of beauty has always been lively. And when we say lively, we mean that sculptors, painters, and writers have squabbled. But each has continued to interpret their own ideas freely and even the most heated controversy has been art. Think of Cubism, an art movement of the early 20th century. One of its greatest artists was the Spaniard Pablo Picasso. He chose to break down the human figure, to show it in a completely new way, with bodies that were sometimes almost unrecognizable and faces that were in disarray. Many art critics did not understand. It seemed almost a lack of respect for art. Instead, it was a new voice and generated so much discussion that no single word has ever been found to define beauty. Activity. In your opinion, do paintings and sculptures always represent beautiful images and objects? Give an example of what you mean and give reasons for your answer. Literature and its beautiful and ugly people. Don't always trust the first impression. Literature has certainly not allowed itself to be intimidated by art. Alongside fairy tales where the princesses were blonde and perfect, and the princes without a single blemish, there are many stories of ugliness, which rather than stopping hearts, delved into monstrous creatures and made them beautiful and loving, regardless of their superficial appearance. The beast, who lives isolated in a huge empty house and is feared and hated by the whole village around him, knows something about this. Those who observe him in his ugliness persist in seeing wickedness and are afraid of him, and the more they are afraid of him, the more they would like to see him dead. And instead, a girl, Belle, goes to see what lies beyond the first impression and falls in love with him, regardless of any common conception of beauty. And with her wholehearted love, she turns him into a beautiful man, and it turns out that he had been under a spell. The Beauty and the Beast fairy tale says a lot about feelings. It leads the reader to question that very question, because inside, where you can see less and where it is more difficult to enter, there is often something much more intense and interesting than a conventional, easy-to-see beauty. On the subject of ugliness, the creature from Mary Shelley's novel Dr. Frankenstein certainly earns a place of honour. Unfortunately, there is no happy ending in the novel for this laboratory-created monster, who would like to befriend humans but is chased away and injured, and ends his short and precarious existence in tragedy. The American director Mel Brooks, in 1974, dedicated a comic film to the story, Frankenstein Jr., and with a skillful reversal tried, through irony, to give a meaning to that poor creature and made him capable of making a woman fall in love with him, underlining once again that a beautiful face does not always bring love and happiness. Dorian Gray, the character in Oscar Wilde's novel The Picture of Dorian Gray, was certainly well aware of this. He is incredibly beautiful and has a social success that many would probably envy even today. Dorian has a portrait made to immortalize his beauty, and unfortunately this does happen, but with very bad consequences. Dorian is still very beautiful and desirable, but he is a man without feelings. His beauty is evil, and generates only pain and tragedy in those who are captivated by it. But there will be justice, because his portrait diabolically grows old, and in its wrinkles, in its increasingly unpleasant and deformed face, it shows Dorian what he has become, until the tragic end that we are not going to tell you. But if you read the book, nothing bad will happen to you. On the contrary, it could be a good exercise to accept yourself as you are and to accept the people around you in the same way. That question about beauty we asked at the beginning of this article sounds like it's got a long answer, and everyone certainly has their own. Incredibly beautiful. To go further, a definition of beauty. Divide the class into three groups. Look through the Black Cat catalogue, www.blackcat-sideb.com. www.book.com/en/catalog/English for the plots of the books we have mentioned in this article. Then, for each book, focus on the images included in this article. 1. Give the proposed picture a title of your choice. 2. Imagine what the character or characters is thinking at that moment and write it down in one or two sentences. 3. Think about what you are thinking when you look at the image in relation to the concept of beautiful and ugly. Don't just look at the picture purely aesthetically. Look at it closely and try to feel what mood it is conveying. Take your feelings seriously and write them down in two or three sentences. 4. Put all your entries together and write down a definition of beauty on a poster, summarizing what you have felt, taking into account everyone's opinions, and pointing out which images have triggered completely different emotions. Explore the Black Cat blog. You'll find this article with classroom activities useful for discussion and debate.